Good morning, praise the Lord. I believe I'm in church.
Amen.
When I get to a place and I find God there, then I know I'm in church.
Amen.
Amen. We love you people. Thank God for this great church, and thank God for your pastor and his family. Amen. It's a joy to be here. Hope I can be of a blessing to you. Now, when the service is over, if you say something to me and I act like I don't hear you, it's probably because I don't. I'm almost completely deaf, and we'll try not to complain, though. I'm about like that blind man. He couldn't see a lick, but he sure did have a good seeing eye dog. All he had to do is tell that dog what he wanted, the dog do it. So one day he told that dog, said, lead me down to the Walmart. He did. We got to the front of the store, he told his dog, said, now leave me over in the center of the store. And the seeing eye dog did. When he got in the center of the store, that blind man reached down and grabbed that dog by the tail and started swinging him around his head. Hard as he go. The manager came running over there and said, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing? He said, I'm looking around. All right, I don't have a seeing eye dog. Maybe I do need a hearing ear dog. I don't know. Is there such a thing? I doubt it. You may be seated because I'm going to read a lot of scripture before I get into the message. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. I'm delighted to be here. Thank God for this great church. Boy, this is a beautiful building. So pretty. Matthew 19, I begin reading with verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, that is to Jesus, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And notice verse 21 closely. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Look at this statement. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. For he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to give up anything for Christ. Now for time's sake, go on down to verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. Now look at this question. What shall we have therefore? Verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. The reason I'm reading from both chapters is because what I have just read goes with what I'm fixing to read. And that's this parable in chapter 20. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, that is the owner, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed, now look at this word agreed. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. And look at this statement. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Verse 5, and he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why are you standing here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. And here's that statement again. And whatsoever is right, that you shall receive. Verse 8, so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them the hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Yeah. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they murmured. They began to complain against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Now notice verse 13 closely. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine ears and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. I'm going to preach for just a little while with the help of God this morning on a very needy subject. I want to preach on, are you bargaining with God? Are you bargaining with God? You don't want to do that. To bargain with God is a lack of faith in God, and it's a lack of love for God. Yeah. Are you bargaining with God? I'll lead us in word of prayer. Would you pray in your heart as I pray audibly? I want you to really pray that God will help us. I'm having some health problems in these days, but you pray. His strength is made perfect in weakness anyway. I want to be a blessing to you. I really do. I don't want to be here preaching, just be preaching. God, our Father and our God in heaven, God, Father, we come, God, to pray to you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come, God, to pray to you, the living and true God, the only God. You're God and God alone. You're God and beside thee, there's none else. Oh, God, how great thou art, how good thou art, how glorious thou art. Oh, God, thank you for letting us know you. Yes, Lord. Father, thank you, God, for saving our souls. Yes. God, I thank you, Lord, for keeping us out of hell. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, I can't thank you enough. Father, if there's one here this morning lost, in Jesus' name, God, save that soul. Please don't let anyone in here die without God and go to hell. Oh, please, God, yes, please. Lord. Move in power this morning. Move in power again this evening. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, please see to it that everyone that's come gets spiritual help. Yes. Please meet the spiritual needs of everyone here. Oh, God, give me great liberty. Make it easy for me to preach. Bless this dear pastor. Should you thank you for him. And God, I'll pray you bless this ministry. Give him wisdom. Bless this church family. Thank you for these, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes. God in heaven, Father, there's no people like your people. No one like you, Jesus. You're the best thing ever happened to us, ever will happen to us. We love you. Forgive us for not loving you like we should. Oh, God, please enable us to love you with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Now, God, pour out the Holy Ghost right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. You can have the glory. You can have the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This parable has been called the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Yeah. This parable is not talking about salvation. It's talking about service. Right. Thank God for everyone that gets saved, even at the 11th hour.
That's right.
But that's not what this is talking about.
Right.
It's talking about service.
Yes, sir.
And it's dealing specifically with our motive for service.
Amen.
See, you and I can do all the right things, but with the wrong motive.
Right.
See, have you ever asked yourself, why do I go to church? Why do I read the Bible? Why do I pray? Why do I give? Why do I serve God? Oh, God help us that our motive will be right.
Yes, sir.
See, takes the grace of God for us to keep our motive right.
Yes, sir.
See. Now, this parable is not based on a fictitious story. No, there were laborers in those days. There were owners. There were vineyards, grapes. You read about grapes all through the Bible. So it's based on a real life situation.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And I want to notice three thoughts, and I'll let you go. We're going to notice, first of all, the setting for this parable. That is the occasion. Secondly, we're going to notice the story, the parable itself. Last of all, the significance of this parable so far as you and I are concerned. In other words, I want to apply it to your life and my life so we can discern whether we are bargaining with God or not, because we don't want to do that. First of all, notice the setting, that is the occasion for this parable. To rightly understand a parable, you first of all got to find out what the setting, the occasion is. In other words, you've got to find out why Jesus gave that parable. Because he never used one idle word. He never spoke anything at random. He had a definite reason for everything he said. There is a definite reason for this parable. And it's found in chapter 19. That's the reason why I started reading in chapter 19 instead of chapter 20. Now, the occasion, the setting for this parable is found in verse 27, chapter 19. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? There's the setting, there's the occasion for this parable. But why did Simon Peter ask that question? Go back to verse 21, 22. Jesus said unto him, that rich young ruler, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Simon Peter heard exactly what Jesus said to that young man. And then Simon Peter saw that young man's reactions. He wasn't willing to give up anything for the cause of Christ, for the Lord Jesus. So Simon Peter, he began to surmise like this. He thought, well, we've given up everything. See, notice again, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?
Yeah.
In other words, what are we going to get out of it? Jesus could have said, whoever says he's going to get anything. But no, Jesus answered his question. What shall we have therefore? He answered it, beginning with verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold. Well, boy, that's not bad, 100-fold.
Right.
And if you compare the Gospels, that's even talking about in this life.
Yes, sir.
In houses and lands and so forth and so on. Just for an example, I have two keys in my pocket on this keychain here. It goes to two different houses other than mine. I have keys that goes to my own house too. But what it is God's given me some precious friends across this country, and they have given me a key and say, anytime you passing through, whether we're here or not, here's the key, go on in and make yourself at home.
Right.
Hundredfold.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how good God is.
Right.
But anyway, coming back where we were. Then the best part, last part of verse 29, and shall inherit everlasting life.
Yes.
Say. Jesus answered his question.
Yeah.
But he didn't stop there.
Right.
He saw something that no one else in that crowd saw. He saw a bargaining spirit
right.
in Simon Peter's question.
Uh-huh.
What shall we have there for?
Yep.
There's your occasion. There's your reason for this parable in Matthew 20. So now go to Matthew 20 and let's look at this parable, the story here. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard.
Yeah.
Now the work day back then was from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening. And oftentimes the owners would go to the marketplace there in town and hire people, you know, to work in the grain fields or to be a carpenter maybe or to work in the vineyard on this occasion. And so in verse 2, we look at the first ones he hired. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard.
Right.
Now notice, there was an agreement. They had to know before they would go. They had to know what they were going to get out of it. Bargaining, see. Are you bargaining with God? See, there had to be a contract. In other words, they were saying to the owner, hey, we want this in black and white on paper.
Right.
How do we know we can trust you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You put it down on paper. Put it down that we're going to get a penny after a day's work. And the penny was not like the penny in your pocket, men, or your purse, ladies. It was a Roman coin called the denarii.
Yeah.
And it was an average day's wage back then. It was an honest day's pay for an honest day's work.
Right.
Nothing underhanded, see. And so then, once they settled on what they would get for going and working in the vineyard, they went to the vineyard.
Right.
But the story doesn't stop there. Notice verse 3. And he went out about the third hour, that's 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go y'all sow into the vineyard, and whatsoever's right. No contract.
Right.
No bargain. Whatsoever's right, I will give you. And they went their way. Verse 5, and he went out about the 6th hour, 9th hour, did likewise, and about the 11th hour. This is unusual. We don't do this, I don't think, in America. The 11th hour, that's 5 o'clock in the evening, and quitting time was 6. Now, we can explain that, though. Why was it that this owner of the vineyard kept going back all through the day and hiring laborers? I'll tell you the reason why. In the studying that I've done over the years, I found out that some of those rains in the Middle East, those hard rains, would come right on the heels of the great harvest. And I found out that those hard rains would ruin those grapes once they got ripe and were ready to be harvested. So maybe he saw the clouds already making up in the west. And he thought, man, I've got to hurry back to the marketplace and hire more laborers because we've made it a bumper crop this year and I don't want to lose any of it. So back to town he would go. So he hired some people as late as 5 o'clock. They worked till 6, 1 hour.
Yeah.
1 hour. Now notice, in verse 6, and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Same thing you got in verse 4, whatsoever is right, that shall y'all receive. Now, those he hired at 6 that morning, they had to know before they would go, but not the rest of them. The rest of them just went on.
Yeah.
But now this owner here represents our Lord. So I want to think that one of those men looked at, one of those laborers looked at some of the others and said, "Hey, man, look in his countenance. Look in his eyes. You can tell he's a man of character. You can tell he's a man of integrity. Look at him. I believe he's an honest man. Let's forget about the contract and go into the vineyard, go to work. I believe he'll do what he said he'd do."
Yes.
He said, "Whatsoever's right." He said, "That's what you're going to get." He said, "Let's forget about the contract. Let's go to the vineyard, go on to work." Hey, folks, that's the way you and I want to do. We don't have to know before we go.
Yeah.
No, Jesus too good for that. Jesus loved me and you so much he died for us.
Oh, yes.
Why in the world we need a contract with him?
Yeah.
Say, let's just go on to the vineyard, go to work.
Yeah.
See, amen. See, that's one of the reasons why you and I need to read and study the Bible daily.
Right.
Because how are you going to trust him if you don't know him? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. He must believe that he is, and that he's the reward of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
The Bible says the just shall live by faith. See, so without faith, we can't please God. Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." We got to have faith. But hey, how are you going to trust someone you don't know?
Right.
You take these keys in my pocket here. Why, I wouldn't hand these keys to a total stranger and say, "Hey, if you don't mind, go down here and fill my truck up with gas." I wouldn't do that, but it wouldn't bother me to hand them to Brother Davey or one of you. That wouldn't bother me,
right.
See. Why, I know you,
yeah.
See.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know you real well, but I know you well enough to trust you by keys.
Yeah.
But folks, we got to get to know God real well.
Yeah.
And we don't have a one shot at it. We have only one life. Just this one life here,
yes, sir.
To get to know God better and learn to really trust God and to be able to serve God with the right motive,
yes.
Out of love.
Amen.
First and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. See,
yes.
With all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. See, Paul said the love of Christ constraineth me. He wasn't talking about his love for Christ. He was talking about Christ's love for him. See, but how are you and I going to know that God really loves us that much if we neglect the love letter? This King James Bible. Yeah. You can't go through this book without this book going to you because it's alive. So we must spend time in the Word of God. We get to know God better. They don't have to twist our arm. They don't have to draft us to get us to go in the service. All they had to do is speak. Like Isaiah of old, "Hear my Lord, send me."
Yes.
Isaiah didn't say, no, "Wait a minute, let me see what we're going to get out of this." No.
Oh.
He just went.
Yeah.
See. Now notice, the Bible tells us here in the Word of God in verse 8, "So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them the hire beginning from the last unto the first." Going to start with them that were hired at 5:00. "And when it came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny." Boy, I bet their eyes got big as saucers. Because they got a day's wage. This penny was a Roman coin called a denarii. It was a day's wage, as I've already said. And they got a day's wage for 1 hour's work.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You see, we're in the New Testament. This is a parable of grace.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amen. Amen.
See, you get far more under grace than you will under the law.
Yes. That's right.
But the grace of God will make you lawful.
Yeah.
I may deal with that this evening. Now, don't you miss this evening, because if I preach that this evening, I dramatize about half that message. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Not because I'm preaching, but because of what I'm preaching. All right, coming back where we were. Coming back to this. Every man received a penny. A penny. Even though they worked only 1 hour. See, I'm going to tell you, if you forget about the contract and just go into the vineyard and go to work, he'll do what's right about you. Abraham said, shall not the God of all the earth do right? Yes, he'll do right. He can't do wrong. He's too good to do wrong. I'm telling you what, I didn't say I've got to have a contract before. I said, I'll go. No, I'll move to Greenville. I didn't have a house. I didn't have any money to mount anything, no support to mount anything, no meetings to mount anything, but I knew God wanted me to move, and God gave me a house, and God gave me food to eat, and God gave me a way to go, and God put clothes on my back. I'm telling you what he'll do, what's right. Woo! There ain't no skin flinty, no tight wad. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you. He'll do what's right about you. I mean, if you're saved, you're one of his children. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Praise God, we're not serving a taskmaster. We're not serving a slave driver. He's our Father, amen.
Amen.
And Jesus is our Savior.
Yes, right.
Thank God this salvation is no wonder Paul said great salvation. It's great.
Amen.
Then those who worked all day got a penny. And the Bible tells us in verse 11, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. By the way, if you operate by law instead of by grace, you're bound to notice the burden and heat of the day.
That's good. That's good.
Woo!
Amen.
It's only under grace that you find out that his yoke is eased and his burden is light. Say.
Right.
Verse 13. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost not thou agree with me a penny? Now go back up to verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Verse 2 makes it sound like that he's the one that wanted the contract. No, you interpret scripture with scripture. Verse 13 makes it clear and plain that they are the one who wanted the contract. He said, dost not thou. Dost not thou. Dost not thou agree with me for a penny? He said, a penny is what you wanted. A penny is what I'm giving you. I ain't doing nothing wrong.
Amen. Amen.
He said, that's what you get for bargain. Now, Simon Peter, do you get the message, Simon Peter?
Yeah.
You said, what shall we have therefore? You see what you'll get, Simon Peter, if you don't get rid of that bargaining spirit you've got?
Yeah.
You get far less than what you would.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? See, grace is not something for nothing. Grace is everything for nothing. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God for the grace of God. You don't need a contract. See, I remember when God saved my soul. 51 years ago, this past July, some of you have heard our life story. Paul was done on the program, Unshackled by the Pacific Guard Mission. I did my life story over 20 years ago. I spent a lot of rejection. I was abused, beat on. I remember my daddy beat me one time badly, left marks on my back, the lower part of my body and all. And I didn't do anything wrong. He just mean. He just mean. His nickname was Hot, and he lived up to it. He had the worst temper of any man I've ever met in my life. You say, well, what made him like that? His daddy was a drunk all his life and abused him, and it made him like that. So you take an old dog out here and beat on him, mistreat him, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make him mean, friend. So my daddy's nickname was Hot. Man, he'd lose his temper. You could not reason with him. The only way he knew how to reason was to pull a gun on you or a sharp knife. He kept a tree brand pocket knife in his pocket and kept it razor sharp, and he'd cut you in a heartbeat. And I mean that. I remember one time there in the house when I was just a kid, I had to sit there and watch my daddy beat a woman over the head with a walking cane, just beating her over the head. Then out in front of the house, He beat a man over the head. I can tell you the man's name won't hurt anything now because my daddy's deceased and won't get him in trouble. The man's name was Charlie Johnson. He beat that man over the head with a walking cane, beat him right on down to his knees. Then that man started having epileptic fits after that, and he died. He died. You won't get by with that now. So I would hide in the house. I'd run away from home. The last time I ran away from home, I started to never come back. He jumped on me in the house, hadn't done anything wrong, blamed me for something I hadn't done wrong. The water out there in the kettle at the barn was running, and it ran over and ran all the way down the lane. He blamed me. He said, I left it on. I said, no, Daddy, I know I didn't do it, and I didn't. And some of you won't understand this, but some of you will. A cow can take his tongue, believe it or not, and turn a faucet on. Anybody ever seen that happen before? Anybody? 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 Okay, well, it's true. But I ain't never seen one of them. I ain't never seen one of them turn it off. I could have choked that cow. Got me in a lot of trouble. But anyway, he met me at the door when I was coming into the house. And he blamed me for that. I said, I didn't do it. And I started walking off, and I could tell he was right behind me. And I'd put up with that for 20 years. I'd had enough. I turned around and faced him, and he looked at me, and it was not liquor talking. He didn't drink. He said, I'll kill you. I knew him in it because I'd already seen what he'd done to people. I mean, he took a pitchfork one time in a peanut field and hit a man across the face with it like that, split his face open. The man hit the ground dead. He took the fork, was going to put it to his heart. But when he ran back with a fork to kill that man, a man behind him grabbed the handle and kept Eddie from killing that man. I was raised in that kind of environment. I think that contributes to some of the health problems I have to this day. I've had my seventh nervous breakdown. See, I still have nightmares every now and then about the way my daddy treated me back in those days. See, I'll never forget after he said, I'll kill you. I left the house. We lived on a dirt road. It was pouring down rain. I went up that dirt road and pouring down rain. I didn't feel like I had a friend in the world. He said, where'd you live? I lived wherever people would let me live. I didn't feel like I had a home. Eventually, I came on back home. We didn't have any relationship. And God saved my soul. And within a year's time after God saved my soul, he hit the altar. And I believe he really got saved. He's deceased now. I really believe he's in heaven. See? And I don't have no hard feelings in my heart towards him. No, when he was dying, I sat by his bedside. He couldn't talk, but they claim one of the last things that goes is you hear it. I sat by his bedside when he's dying in the hospital there in Cordell, and I said, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. I wanted him to know as he died that I loved him. I didn't have anything in my heart against him. You can't hate people, folks. See? But anyway, coming back where we were, so we had a revival meeting in Harmony Baptist Church, the old country church there in the farming area there, South Georgia. That year, we had a powerful evangelist, B. Condon Puckle. Boy, he got in that pulpit and preached hell, hot sin, black eternity long, and God put me in a conviction. I hit the altar and got saved. And boy, when God saved me, I mean, I just fell in love with Jesus. See, it was like this. I found somebody who loves me. I found somebody who wants me. I found somebody who accepts me. So I just fell in love with him. I'm telling you, every time the doors was open, I was in church. If there's a revival meeting going on anywhere in our community, I was there because I just couldn't get enough. I just wanted to be around Jesus all the time. Oh, how precious he is. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I ought to be in hell, but I ain't going there. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I told you all that to tell you this. We're talking about bargaining with God, see. Not long after that, the phone rung one day. One of the leaders, Mr. Claxton, at the First Baptist Church in Pinehurst, called me. It's just a little small church because Pinehurst is just a spot in the road. He asked me would I come fill in on Sunday. Oh, my heart went up my throat. You want me to come preach? And I started to say no, because I couldn't get up before people. My daddy destroyed all my self-confidence, you know, self-worth, whatever you want to call it. He destroyed all that. I remember one time I tried to get up before some of the people in our high school there in Vino where I graduated, and I had to say some things, and I just choked up. I had to sit down. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Stage fright. So now here, this man's asked me to come preach at the little First Baptist Church in Pinehurst, and I can't get up before people. Can't do it. And but when I started to say no, if there has ever been a time when it seemed like Jesus walked right up by my side, it was right then. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, how can you say no after what I've just done for you? How can you say no after I accepted you? You experienced all this rejection and abuse, and I love you, accept you, how you say no. But I'm telling you, when he did that, there was no way in the world I could say no. I said, I don't believe I can take both services, but I'll take that night service. I'll take that night service. Yeah. Well, the rest of the week, I'm scared to death. Yeah. I didn't even know what the word homiletics meant, much less how to put a message together. But I took a few thoughts that I'd heard preachers say, you know, and took some verses, some scripture out of the Bible, and added an illustration or two, and went to that church on that Sunday night. When I walked in the church, it was packed. Somehow another word had got out. That old Milton Taylor, that old country boy, is going to be preaching Sunday night. It was packed. He asked me to come to the pulpit. I walked in the pulpit, I opened my Bible, I said two words, and I stopped for just a moment, and nobody knows what I did but me and Jesus. I just stopped and said, thank you, Jesus, because I knew I wasn't in that pulpit by myself. Woo! I preached a while and I cried a while. I preached a while and I cried a while. I got done preaching. They came down there just to weeping and crying, lined up all the way to the back of the church. When the service was all over, we'd got in the car and went back to the house. I was still living with Daddy and Mom in those days. Went to bed that night. And if I slept any, I don't remember it. But I do remember what I did. I laid in that bed and preached all night long. I didn't open my mouth. But in my heart, y'all know what I'm talking about. In my heart, it was just a churning. It was just like a volcano down inside all night long, just preaching. Man, I knew God called me to preach. I'm telling you, I didn't run one day. In spite of all the stage fright, he took that away. I didn't run one day. If God hadn't called me to preach, I believe I'd have called myself. I was so glad he called me to preach. Now let me hurry up and get on. First church I ever pastored was a halftime church, about 20, 21 members. They gave me $50 every other week. And that was back in the 60s, not 2017. And, but I never discussed the salary. I never complained. I was just glad that Jesus would let me do something for him. He'd done so much for me. Then the first full-time church I ever pastored was Spring Creek Baptist Church down in South Georgia. They gave me $75 a week, and I furnished my own home, which was a 12 by 52 home. But I never discussed the salary with them. I never complained. Again, I was just glad Jesus would let me do something for him. I'm so glad Jesus let me do something for him. I didn't bargain with God. I didn't say, God, if you let me pastor a big First Baptist church somewhere and let me stay in a big, beautiful home, you know, and furnish me a big salary and all of that, then I'll go, I'll serve you. No, I didn't. I didn't bargain with God. I didn't bargain with God. See, and I know these men don't do that. But coming back where we were, you don't need to bargain with God. Forget about the contract. Just go on to the vineyard. I promise you, he'll take care of you. All right, we've seen the setting. We've seen the story. Notice the significance. And I'm going to let you go to the house. The significance of this parable, so far as you and I are concerned. Now, we'll make some statements, help you and I to know whether we're bargaining with God or not. Number one, God, I'll serve you if you won't call me to preach. That's bargaining. God, I'll serve you, God, if you won't send me to the mission field. That's bargaining. Yep. God, I'll serve you if you'll save my wife or save my husband. What if he doesn't? Are you going to quit?
Good.
God, I'll serve you if you'll bring my wife back or if you'll bring my husband back. Again, what if he doesn't? You're going to quit?
Good.
Listen, folks, it's hard to quit somebody you really love.
Yeah.
This Bible says many waters cannot quench love. I'm telling you, regardless of what happens, if you and I really love Jesus, you'll be back for the next service and the next and the next. That's right. God, I'll serve you if you'll save my children. God, I'll serve you if you'll bring my wayward son or daughter back. God, I'll serve you if you'll take these handicaps away, if you'll heal me. God, I'll serve you if you'll heal my wife or my husband. That reminds me of when our first child was born. My wife could not give birth to him. She could not give birth to our second child, Charlotte. They had to do a, you know, a cesarean, a C-section. That was back in the 60s when they brought my son in the world. We would use a little hospital down in South Georgia, Donaldsonville, Georgia. It was a renovated high school, an old school. So you can imagine about what it was. And the doctor, he was a good man. He was a Presbyterian, supposed to be a Christian. But I think they were fairly limited in the knowledge because they kept forcing labor, inducing labor. My wife was in hard labor for 3.5 days. I am not making that up. Her whole countenance changed. She looked like she was dying. She looked like she was dying. So they finally decided they'd operate. They wheel her down to the operating room. I'm standing in the hallway looking at them doors. Then all of a sudden, them doors burst open. Here come two nurses out and grabbed an oxygen bottle that was in the hallway. They couldn't pick that heavy thing up. They leaned it over like that and began to roll it on the ceiling, you know. When they went through them doors, both of them looked back at me at the same time, and I believe I read their minds. I believe they were saying, I wish he didn't see this. I wish he didn't see this, but he did. And you know what crossed my mind after all we've been through? I thought, my wife has died. My wife has died. I walked in the room that we're going to put her in after the surgery, and I walked up to the window, and I looked out the window, and I said, God, you gave me Ellen. You gave me my wife. You can take her if you want to, but by your grace, I'm still going to serve you. I'm not going to quit. I'm still going to serve you. I refuse to bargain with God. I did not say, God, if you'll let my wife live, I'll keep serving you. No, I've made up my mind by the grace of God. I was going to serve God anyhow.
Yeah.
Don't bargain with God. Don't bargain with God.
No.
Don't do it. And God had mercy on us.
Yeah,
my wife lived. My son, he nearly died too. They both nearly died. And it was a month just about before we walked out of that hospital, but God had mercy upon us. But I'm telling you, God's too good. Jesus loves you too much. Jesus, listen, he loves you with all of his heart. So why do we need a contract? Why do we need to bargain? Why do we need to know before we go? Let's forget about the contract and just go into the vineyard and go to work. Now I'm about done. Here's a big one, and I'm done. Here's a big one now, boys and girls. You get this one. You get this one. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll let me marry her. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll let me marry him. What if you don't? You gonna quit? If you really love Jesus, you won't. And you know what God showed me about this? If you quit because God didn't let you marry whoever you thought you ought to marry, then it proves that you love them more than you love him. It's as simple as that now, folks.
That's right.
Boy, I mean, it's just going to be hard, regardless of how much you love them. It's going to be hard to walk out them doors, climb them doors in God's face, and forget about God if you love Jesus more.
Yeah.
And say, we're supposed to love Jesus more than love anybody in this world.
Right.
Say,
right.
You know what you might want to do this morning? I'm done. Forgive me for taking so long. You know what you might want to do this morning? You might want to just do an invitation. Just get up and come down this altar and say, God, I'm tearing up the contract. I'm tearing up the contract. Whether you do what I think you ought to do or not, I'm yours. I'll be back tonight. I'll be back Wednesday night. I'll be back next Sunday. I'll be back. I'll be back. I'm tearing up the contract. Would you stand your feet? Heads bowed, eyes closed. You've been so attentive. You've been so attentive. Some of you may want to come to the altar while I'm praying. Tear up the contract. Don't bargain with God. Don't say, God, if you do so-and-so, I do so-and-so. No, go ahead and do it anyway. If you love Jesus, you will. God speak to our hearts. God speak. God speak. Oh, God speak to our hearts. Speak, Jesus, speak. Father, please give us the grace to tear up all the contracts. God, if to serve you because we love you. Jesus, help us to live for you because we love you. Jesus, I thank you. You love us. Thank you, love us. I thank you, loved us when nobody else seemed like did. Thank for love that will not let us go. Thank you, the love of Christ passeth knowledge. Oh, God, speak to our hearts. God, help tear up the contract. And Father, if there's one here lost in Jesus' name, save that soul right now. Save that soul. Don't let anybody in here die without God and go to hell. Please, God, please, Jesus, speak, God.